Welcome into the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Great show today, folks. Very excited for today's show. We'll get into the show in a minute, but first, I had an opportunity to see the brand new movie, Him. You might have seen the commercials for it on TV or even online. Looks pretty interesting. It's got Marlon Wayans. I believe it's Tyreek Withers, Julia Fox, Tim Heidecker, Jim Jefferies, who you might have recognized, believe it or not, from stand-up. He had his own TV show on Comedy Central at one time, plays the trainer in this movie. It's produced by Jordan Peele. And you know, Jordan Peele has had a really good run of movies lately, both horror movies and thriller-type movies and Monkey Paw Productions. Produced by Jordan Peele. I want you to keep that in mind when you go see it this weekend. Actually, the director of this movie is Justin Tipping. And the screenplay is by Zach Akers and Skip Bronke and Justin Tipping. Him is an interesting premise. I'll give it that. In a premise that very much is set in modern day and gives us an idea that, you know what, the only way you can make it to the top is to get that edge, right? Marlon Wayans plays a quarterback of a franchise of a professional football team that is looking, he's won 8 championships and he's looking to win a 9th, but he's in the last year of his contract. Tyreek Withers, he's playing a former college wide receiver who's a rising star quarterback, and he's devoted his life and identity to football. He's on the eve of his annual scouting combine. He gets attacked by an unhinged fan and suffers a potential career-ending brain trauma at that point. He's got to go to the combine. He's got to try and prove himself at the combine, but he gets a second chance to try out for his hometown team, which Marlon Wayans' character plays for and is the quarterback of for that last season. But in order to do so, he's got to work out with Marlon Wayans' character, Isaiah White. And so you've got Tyreek Withers' character working out with Marlon Wayans' character for that week, and they're isolated. So Isaiah White takes his phone away from him and keeps him isolated in this basically at his home, at Isaiah White's home out in the middle of nowhere. And this is kind of where things ensue, and things get weirder and weirder. And Isaiah White is very eccentric. He's got these eccentric ways, and he keeps telling Tyreek's character that, you know what, in order to get there, you've got to go the extra mile. You got to be in it for a reason other than just your family, right? And you keep going down this rabbit hole. He keeps going down this rabbit hole with his protege that gets darker and darker and darker. And you find out at the end what exactly is up with all of this, which is, I'll give it to you this way. It's kind of a predictable rabbit hole. And that's the one thing I had against this movie is there's not really any surprise here. I think if you're used to supernatural plots, you pretty much know what the plot of this movie is. I will give Jim Jefferies this. Jim Jefferies plays the trainer, Isaiah White's trainer in this movie. And he's very good. And also, Marlon Wayans is very good in this movie. He does an excellent job playing Isaiah White, who is, to say he's eccentric is not doing it justice. He is just playing off his rocker in this movie. And I think it's years ago when they were talking about Marlon Wayans potentially playing Robin in one of the Batman movies. I think it was supposed to be the third Batman movie that Tim Burton would have done, that would have been Batman Forever. But then Burton didn't come back to the Batman franchise. Marlon would have been excellent, I think, in it. He's got a lot of range here. There's a lot of range here that I think people will be shocked. to see how much range Marlon Wayans has. Despite the fact that Marlon Wayans puts in an excellent performance, and despite the fact that there are some excellent acting performances put in here, the story comes up a little short. I just think it's way too predictable of a story. With that in mind, I give it about a 3 out of 5. And I'm being generous here when I say 3 out of 5. It's a good matinee. It's a good matinee to see on maybe you have a rainy day coming up this weekend, or maybe it's a little too warm in your area and maybe you want to sit in a cool theater and watch a movie and pass the time. Him would be that type of movie for you. Or if you're a huge football fan and you want to see something that will combine a supernatural thriller with football, that's your movie. Otherwise, maybe you want to wait. But I would say 3 out of 5, check it out at a matinee. But Him opens nationwide on the 19th, on September 19th, which is on Friday. So go check it out. Him is a Jordan Peele produced film. And with that, let's get on to our program. As you know, this coming weekend is the Mothman Festival in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And as my mug, if you're watching on video, shows, it's very worn, as you could tell. It says that Mothman believes in me. I drink out of this mug quite often. That's why it's quite worn. I tend to believe he believes in me, but do you believe in him? That's the question today. And my two esteemed guests may have that answer. Whether Mothman believes in me or we believe in Mothman. The book is a good one, folks. I have a copy. Actually, my copy is a pre-copy from Llewellyn. It is not the real copy, as you will get it when you pick it up. But it's called Mothman Sightings and Investigations of the Iconic Flying Cryptid. It's a good one, folks. I had the chance to sit down and read it from cover to cover. My guests today are Richard Estep and Tobias Wayland. And let me tell you a little bit about him before I bring him in. Of course, I know you're familiar with Richard. Richard's been on the program many times before, one of our favorite guests. And Richard is a paranormal investigator, has been for over 30 years, researching claims of ghosts and hauntings on both sides of the Atlantic. He's an author of more than 30 books in genres ranging 24. From how many?
24.
34. Okay. All right.
I need to update my bio.
All right, we'll have Kat do that then. From paranormal nonfiction and true crime to history and fiction, he's a cast member of the TV shows Haunted Hospitals, Paranormal Revenge, and Paranormal 911, and has made guest appearances on A Haunting, Destination Fear, and Haunted Case Files. I happen to know he's a co-member of Paranormal Night Shift. I just happen to know that one. Richard writes a regular column for Haunted Magazine and frequently presents at conferences and public events across the United States. A paramedic by profession, and thank you for your service, Richard. Richard lives in Colorado with his family, and you can visit him at richardestep.net. We'll have a link in the description of this program so you can check out more about Richard there. Tobias Wayland is a self-professed fun ruiner. He's also a passionate Fortean who has been investigating the unusual for over a decade. The first several years were spent as a MUFON field investigator, followed by a role as a writer and editor for the Single Fortean Society. He was featured in season 4 of Unsolved Mysteries, Expedition X, and the Small Town Monsters documentaries, Terror in the Skies, and On the Trail of the Lake Michigan Mothman. He's also the author of The Lake Michigan Mothman, High Strangeness in the Midwest, and Strange Tales of the Impossible. You can learn more about him at singularfortean.com. We'll have a link to that in this description of this program as well. I want to welcome in both Richard Estep, Tobias Wayland. Gentlemen, thank you both for being here.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
That'll be the last time I'll point to both of you, because from now on, I'm pointing each of you out singularly. First of all, excellent book. I enjoyed the book immensely, and I'm glad, finally, that there's a book co-written by both authors in which you both got to hit the road and do the buddy comedy, so to speak, where you got to get out and research together and kind of write this book together. A lot of times it's one of those things where, you know, you may sit in a room and write a book, but might not actually put boots on the ground and get to see some of the, or not get to see any of what you're writing about. You guys actually got out there and wrote about it and got about it. If that's actually proper English, which I know it's not, I'm interested to know, and I'm going to start with Tobias first, because I, you know, I've spent plenty of time with you, Richard. Not that I don't love you and everything, but I'm going to start with Tobias first. Writing a book like this with Richard and being the more experienced of the two in cryptids, to you, is this old hat, or are you finding new material? Because you are going into the areas of probably areas you've been in before with Charles Fort and John Keel and others, or are you finding new material here in your experience? Are you finding new experiences? You know what I mean here?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's always new ground to cover. You know, we don't know enough about these phenomena, I think, to be able to say definitively that we understand any of them. And thus, there's always something new for us to be learning. And in researching that book, I mean, I found that to be very true, you know. Really just being able to go out with Richard to these various sighting locations, interviewing witnesses, and hearing his perspective, sort of seeing these cases through a fresh set of eyes with Richard present, like gave me a brand new perspective, you know, like that in and of itself, I think taught me something that I didn't already know. So absolutely, like this was another step, I think, in the journey of discovery that is researching these topics.
I guess that was a horrible way to put, did you see it through new eyes? But that's the way I meant to put it, was did you see this through new eyes, having seen it with Richard? Because I guess, you know, being a cryptid expert, and again, we hate to use the word expert, I know, but being a cryptid expert, I kind of get the idea that you've seen it all, right? Or you'd like to think you've seen it all, or you're kind of, what's a good way of putting it? You've been around the block, right? So you've seen a lot of it, but yet there's always more to learn, as you've put it. Is there anything in this, as you're writing this book, that surprised you? Or what about this round of writing this book surprised you the most?
Sure. Well, you know, honestly, I think that probably what I found to be the most surprising was once we started putting everything together, you know, I sort of had this idea of how things fit, but it really wasn't until we had done the research, we had gone on the road, you know, we had done all of that stuff, and I started putting it together, did I really see how well it actually did fit. And I think the surprise to me there was just how well that all fell into place. Because you know, you want it to happen, and you might even expect it to happen. But until it does, there's always that nagging doubt where you're like, well, no, maybe I'm wrong. You know, like maybe it's me who's dumb. But no, when it all comes together, it's a wonderful surprise. And so that was probably the biggest thing for me, because a lot of the witness testimony, going out talking to people, all of that stuff was fairly consistent to my experience in having interviewed so many witnesses already, right? So like that wasn't necessarily new to me, but it is always, there's always something about it that feels new. Like when you're sitting down face to face with somebody, even if they're telling you about an experience that you have heard time and time again from other witnesses, like that experience is still new. Like that person is unique, you know? And so there is something special about that too. Not necessarily surprising, but definitely special.
I'll tell you what opened my eyes about the book, honestly, Tobias, is you guys take this different slant on Mothman, and in a way that you introduce Charles Fort, John Keel, the whole Mothman legend from a different side, in that, sure, you introduce us to these people again, you introduce us to the legend again, but not only do you put the boots on the ground and you introduce us to the stories again, but it's from a different, to me, it's from a different slant. You also get people's opinions on these people, right? And their opinions on their theories, and we get into the actual meat of what they believe. To me, that to see what somebody thinks of John Keel's writings, to me, throws me off a little bit, because it's like, you know, okay, I know what I think of his writings, right? But to see what somebody else thinks and be honest about it, that to me kind of throws me on my ear, right? I'm wondering what you think about that.
That's where the professional fun ruiner part comes in a lot of the time, because I have just the most difficulty in not being honest with people about this stuff. And so I fully recognize that there is a segment of the paranormal audience who does not care if something is real. They just want to be entertained. And I get that. And I hope that I can deliver in what I do something real that is still entertaining. But for those people who don't care and they just want to be entertained, it can be aggravating, I think, at times to hear my perspective, because I want to be very objective in how I approach this stuff, right? And, you know, as a result, it doesn't necessarily always, you know, always make me super popular. But I also believe, like in the book, that everybody's perspective has merit and it should carry some weight, which is why we tried to include all of the different myriad perspectives that we did. Like one of my best buddies, Josh Kuchin, was interviewed for this book. We don't agree on everything. We just don't. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we're not really good friends and that we don't get along. Of course we do. We can just move past that because we don't have to agree on everything, right? And I think that those differing perspectives are important. And ultimately, I think more than anything else, they might be what actually drives this field forward, right? Because if we're not challenging ideas, then I don't really think that there can be meaningful growth in this space, right?
Right, absolutely. And actually, I found the chapter with Josh Kuchin one of the more intriguing chapters in the book, because you are going back and forth about exactly what it is that you believe in as far as the writings go, what's really real, whether these thoughts that these gentlemen had truly hold merit, and what we hold on to here in the paranormal, and whether these theories, and again, I'm going to refer people to the book to read this chapter, because it really is important. It's an important staple in the book. And as to whether we've carried these theories forward into everything in the paranormal, UFOs, ghosts, everything. And, you know, are we sitting on a big bucket of truths, or are we sitting on a big bucket of crap? Right. I mean, essentially is what it comes down to. And, you know, and it kind of covers tulpas too, which I find interesting, right? And the thought of maybe even Mothman being a tulpa. I mean, I take my mind to that extreme as well. Interesting stuff. So I'm going to turn this over to Richard now, and I'm going to ask this question. Going out into the field with Tobias, Richard, again, being more of a ghost hunter, ghost investigator, and getting into the cryptid side of things, I want your impressions as to what it's like for you to go out monster hunting.
Well, and forgive me if I'm a little spacey. I was just envisioning a forthcoming cage match between Tobias and Annabelle the doll, which we will put on pay-per-view. When I was offered the opportunity to write this book by Llewellyn, they were nice enough to ask me what I wanted to do next. And I wanted to pick something that wasn't my usual wheelhouse, which wasn't just ghosts, much as I do love that. And ghosts will always be my first love, you know. But I found Mothman fascinating, and quickly realized I was in out of my depth, you know. Kiel alone was such a broad playing field, you know, and so I needed a guide. I needed someone that was experienced to help navigate through these waters. And I'd seen and spoken with Tobias at numerous conferences. I'd heard him speak very intelligently. And I thought his book on the Lake Michigan Mothman was excellent. And so, you know, he was my first and only call when I was looking for a guide to co-author the book with. And it's very much a co-authorship. It's not a Richard Estep with, it's a co-authorship. Tobias brought the experience and I brought that questioning, fresh set of eyes. And it was kind of like I was his Mothman Padawan, which sounds like a great name for an indie band. Now I put it out there.
It does.
And so, you know, we started with Keel and we started with Point Pleasant, but then, you know, he quickly taught me that there is this much broader phenomenon at work, and it ended up sending us to Rockford, Illinois. You know, we looked at Mothman sightings in Illinois, Van Meter, Iowa, with the great Chad Lewis, of course. It was an amazing journey. The journey itself was just so enlightening, so educating, and plain fun. You know, I mean, how else do you manage to get paid to go to a festival in Point Pleasant where you're putting money into a statue of Mothman's ass crack? You know, mom thought I would grow up and work in a bank. It was very surreal and strange. But along the way, you know, we walked in the footsteps of Keel. We walked in the footsteps of those who experienced this phenomenon. And it just struck me. It was just over a year ago today, Tobias, that we were in the TNT area actually living this book. You know, like,
that's right.
This time last year, the Mothman Festival Week. Crazy.
Now, I do want to get to that in a moment here. In the second part of the program, I think we'll talk Mothman Festival because it is this weekend, and I want to get you, mm-hmm. your guys' impression of the festival and living that experience a little bit too, because it was not just the two of you. Of course, you took one of our former guests here on the program. You took Erin Taylor with you and her mm-hmm. husband, Mike. We'll talk a little bit about those two as well. I want to ask you here, Tobias, I want to start from the beginning so people kind of get the references if they're not familiar with the Mothman legend. Tell us what it is to be of the school of Charles Fort and what it is to be Fortean, because I don't think people realize when they say Fortean what exactly it means. Can you give us just a quick background as to what that means?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I honestly, specifically when it comes to Mothman, I like to tell people, because it's true, that you really can't understand John Keel unless you first understand Charles Fort. So Charles Fort was an early 20th century collector of weird news stories. He would literally sit in the library for hours and hours, and he would collect these news stories from scientific journals and newspapers and things, and he would compile them in these massive volumes, and he would write about them and sort of speculate about connections and what might be behind them. He coined the term teleportation that did not exist before Charles Fort. So interesting fun fact. And one of his most famous quotes that I'm very fond of is, "One measures a circle beginning anywhere." And that is to say, by studying any aspect of anomalous phenomena, you can understand something about all of it because it's all connected. You know, by studying ghosts and hauntings, you can understand something about alien abduction. By studying UFOs, you can understand something about cryptids, you know, because these things are much more intertwined than I think the seemingly disparate cliques that exist within paranormal culture would like to believe, or at least what they used to like to believe. I've seen a growing acceptance of high strangeness and weird connections between phenomena lately, which is just wonderful. But that's essentially who Charles Fort was. And guys like John Keel, they really picked up that ball and they ran with it. You know, you can really draw a straight line between the stuff Charles Fort was talking about and Keel's ultra-terrestrial hypothesis, because really all that is I think a further sort of extrapolation of the cosmic joker from Fort's work, rather, where he would talk about or speculate about this sort of intelligence, perhaps, that was behind these phenomena, sort of jokingly, how it had this trickster element and was just constantly messing with us. And then, you know, you get to Keel and he's got these ultra-terrestrials that are basically the same thing, but Keel is willing to tell you where they fit in, like, the electromagnetic spectrum and, like, gets very pseudoscientific about it. But it's just, it's the same thing viewed through a different lens. And again, it's I think it's a direct result of Kiel being so enamored with Charles Fort. I mean, he constantly quoted Fort. If you read like the Eighth Tower, like every single chapter, I think starts with a quote from Fort. You know, so yeah, it's a very strong connection.
What's interesting too, and I don't want to give too much away about the book, but what's interesting too is that it seems like with the ultra-terrestrial theory that there's this idea with Kiel that it seems like things go off the range at one time or another with Kiel, that Mothman is finding a way to disguise itself, that where you are going to see the quintessential Mothman statue, but then maybe not. It may disguise itself as something else here. It may show itself a different way here to another person. No experience is out of bounds. But so then how do we define what Mothman is? Are you finding, Tobias, that it's, are we getting the quintessential Mothman character? Can we draw it out on paper and say, this is definitely Mothman? Is that statue definitely Mothman? Or are you finding that there's no one set definition for this?
Well, I think that it's more of a sort of loosely related set of phenomena or qualities to in experience, really. But first, let me say that Mothman statue, nobody's ever reported that in the history of Mothman sightings. That Mothman, it's true, that Mothman sighting actually is based on a painting done by one of my favorite artists, Frank Frazetta,
which
he did for the cover of High Times, the magazine High Times, I'm not even kidding, decades and decades ago. And I have a copy of it because one of my friends got me it for Christmas, like last year or the year before. So anyway,
I gotta
but
say
you're
that,
right.
I gotta say that ass is a Frazetta ass. But go ahead.
Well, and you know, I didn't know about that. Yeah. I must interrupt and say I didn't know about that at the time because had I known when we were at the statue, I would have had Tobias and I. Frazetta did the Conan covers, right?
Yes.
Famously.
Yeah.
I would have had Tobias and I, like, kneeling at Mothman, grabbing onto his legs like
yes.
the Frazetta Conan covers. I wish we'd done that maybe next time, you know, looking up imploringly, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Tobias. I'm sorry.
No, well, that all needed to be said. There's a lot of value in that perspective. So, as far as I think what we would consider quote unquote actual Mothman sightings, there are discrepancies. Like you will see some variance in details, but most of those are outliers. Generally speaking, what you will see in witness testimony is people describing a 6 to 7 foot tall humanoid with a 12 to 15 foot wingspan and often glowing red eyes. It'll be dark in color, but they're seeing it at night, so who knows? And that's about all you get for physical qualities. That's about the level of detail you will get in a I hate to use this word, but common Mothman sighting, you know, for what, like whatever that's worth. And the rest are outliers. As for what we do with those outliers, I don't discard them. I don't think we can. Mm-hmm. But I think that it is an interesting sort of thought experiment to try to reconcile those with the other sightings. Like, because it is a very good question. How do those fit? Like, where do those go? And some of it could be, I think, the normal variance you would expect just from different people trying to describe the same thing. You know, if you get 10 people, 10 eyewitnesses trying to describe the same person, you could get 10 very different descriptions. Mm-hmm. Some of it could be different creatures. Some of it could be even that the thing appears differently to different people. So if there is a sort of connection where it is communicating or being experienced, say on like the level of consciousness, like there's a parapsychological quality to it, then if it's informing its appearance based on the subconscious of the observer or something, then I would expect for there to be differences. So, I mean, there are a lot of possibilities and very few concrete answers, I guess, as to how that all fits.
Interesting. All right. We're going to take our break here, guys. When we come back, I want to tackle the whole Mothman, Harbinger of Doom, or simply just coincidence Does he happen to be there right before the major disaster happens? Or is it simply a Native American chief who shows up in the case of Point Pleasant, happened to lay the curse on the town? Let's talk myths and legends a little bit about Mothman. And then I want to talk about the different areas of celebration, if you will, Van Meter, Point Pleasant. And I want to talk about why there are festivals around this particular cryptid. I mean, I know there are some Bigfoot festivals out there. I know there are some other things. And I want to talk monsters and celebrations. And why? Why do we take and celebrate monsters in different communities? This is kind of an odd thing, but I want to get the psychology behind that as well. My guests are Richard Estep and Tobias Wayland. The book is a good one, folks, and I encourage you to pick it up. It's available right now. The book is Mothman, Sightings and Investigations of the Iconic Flying Cryptid. I have it right here. It's available right now. We have a link in the description of this program. Go get it. And again, go get it. Very good book. When we come back, Mothman, myths, legends, and festivals. When we come back with Richard Estep and Tobias Wayland right here on The Best in Paranormal Programming, this is Darkness Radio.
From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Hitta Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Did you know that your detectors need to be replaced every 5 to 10 years? Hitta detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of Hitta safety products.
Save big money at Menards.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Programming. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. My guests, Richard Estep and Tobias Whalen, the book Mothman Sightings, Investigations, or I'm sorry, Sightings and Investigations of the Iconic Flying Cryptid. I have it right here, and it is available right now in the link in the description of this program. So, also released by Llewellyn Press. We want to give Llewellyn their shout out as well. Guys, before the break, I had teased that I wanted to talk about the fact that, again, this Mothman tends to be this harbinger of doom. I know I'm here in Minneapolis. The legend started to grow a little bit after the 35W bridge crash that Mothman was sighted. Although that wasn't something that came out immediately after the bridge crash. I know I was working over at Minnesota Public Radio at the time. Not something that was mentioned right away, but it was this thing that grew like weeks afterwards that, oh, you know what? We think we saw something near the bridge at the time, but it wasn't something that was immediately said. Again, one of those things that happens weeks after the fact, right? You bring up something interesting in the book that there's a witness you talked to in Point Pleasant that said, at first, they thought that Mothman was a bird, that it wasn't a moth at all. And then eventually, it comes to this Mothman legend, right? Tobias, I want to start with you. And they also thought that maybe that this Mothman was a curse from a Native American chief. Tell us a little bit about that curse. And then how do we get from curse from a Native American chief to where we are now? How does this legend grow?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, as far as the Chief Cornstalk curse, this happens to be, a bit of Appalachian sort of folklore. And it's not uncommon to see that sort of thing. And there probably isn't much to it other than it serves as a sort of an excuse for anything that ever goes wrong in anybody's life, you know, because the legend is essentially about this Native American leader who was murdered by white settlers. And as a result, you know, like that area is cursed. So if you are, you know, Joe White guy and something goes wrong in your life, oh, it's probably, you know, that darn Chief Cornstalk curse. Why, ancestors? Why? And I don't think that there is a phenomenological connection between, you know, Chief Cornstalk there's nothing causal there between people talking about this curse and perhaps Mothman. But I do think that it might speak to the kind of mindset or cultural beliefs that, like, out of which that kind of legend could arise. But I don't want people to think that Mothman is just a legend. Like, this isn't an urban legend. We have firsthand sources. I personally interviewed many witnesses, and the one thing I know for sure about them is that they have experienced something they can't explain. So there is something to this, but I don't think it's related to any, you know, any ancient folkloric curses.
Okay, so with that, we know we're seeing something real here, obviously, Tobias, and something that, if it's not a species literally here on Earth, like a, you know, you can't say it's an ape, you can't say it's a bird, you can't say whatever it is. Is it alien in nature? I mean, we don't know that it's alien in nature. Maybe Kiel was onto something. Maybe it is ultra-terrestrial. It doesn't leave behind, and there's another interesting theory, and we'll leave it for the book. I think I want to leave it for the book as to what this thing actually is. I believe it was maybe you and Josh who were discussing what this thing actually was, and you were talking about whales at the time, I believe. I'll just drop that hint. But it's interesting how this thing never leaves a trace, right? I mean, it's here and gone. It's like Bigfoot in that it never leaves bones. You never see a Mothman carcass anywhere, right? There's never anything anywhere. Can you speak to that as to why we never see remnants of Mothman, or you never have an experience with an experiencer where this thing hangs around for a long period of time, or they get a real good look at it? Or the other thing I wanted to bring up that I want you to speak on, every single person you talk to, you can't get the camera out fast enough. What's up with that?
Sure. Well, I'll start with that camera thing, because in their defense, I can't even get my cell phone out in time to take a picture of like my dog doing something cute. You know what I mean?
Right.
By the time I get it out and I get the camera loaded, like whatever he's doing has long since passed. And then he just looks at me like an idiot, and he's right. But I don't think that necessarily we can blame people for not capturing good footage of something that happened so quickly, that is so shocking. Terror is one of the most reported qualities in people's experiences, you know. So, just imagine being terrified at night. The last thing you're thinking about doing is trying to grab your phone and take a picture of this. Now, I do freely admit, of course, if these were longer experiences that were more interactive, less terrifying, then I think that would be pretty suspect. But, you know, just by their very nature, it doesn't really surprise me that people aren't taking photographs. As far as the other stuff, I agree. It is an interesting mystery. And I am so much more comfortable telling people what I think Mothman isn't than what I think it is, for that very reason. So for instance, I don't think that what we're dealing with is some sort of undiscovered biological species, right? Because there's no signs of predation. There's no habitat that we can point to in the areas that this thing is being seen for something of that size to have a breeding population to be able to exist. We would know about it right now. You know, like we could have scientists out studying it. It would be real obvious. So where does that leave us? You know, if people are relating their experiences authentically, and I have no reason to believe that many of them aren't, right? Like many of them seem to be authentic in relating their particular experiences, then, you know, once you can rule out things like hallucinations, most of the sightings don't really fit that bill. You're left with some very, I think, uncomfortable questions, and none of them point towards any sort of rational answer. So you have to start speculating about things like ultra-terrestrials or extra-dimensional or extraterrestrial or something of that nature. But as far as definitive answers, we just don't have any.
Okay. Richard, first of all, you still awake over there?
I am very well awake.
Okay, good. Second, this weekend is the Mothman Festival in Point Pleasant. Your entire group traveled out there to research the book and to get an idea of the Mothman Festival and what was all what it all entailed. I'm going to throw this question to you first. What is it, not only just about Point Pleasant, but Van Meter and other areas that have had these, for lack of a better term, experiences with Mothman, that they've decided, hey, you know what? Now we're cashing in. Now we're gonna build these festivals around Mothman in particular.
Well, I say this with nothing but respect and affection, but Van Meter and Point Pleasant are towns that have essentially one card, and they play it hard and they play it well. I spoke to a lady in Point Pleasant who said, you know, very frankly to me, I said, what would this town be like in your estimation if there had been no Mothman? And she said, nobody would come here. I mean, it's that simple. Now, there's lots of beautiful history in Point Pleasant, you know, there are other reasons to visit, but I think it's fair to say that Mothman brings in so much interest, so much tourism. A festival is the next logical thing. Whether you believe in Mothman or not is almost irrelevant. There is enough cultural connection. There is enough of a story here that it is just worth the visit to go and walk the ground and experience it for yourself. You know, Van Meter and the Visitor, again, Van Meter, Iowa, wonderful festival, interesting story, and you know, told by Chad Lewis, the researcher and cohort. I think that it would not be a well-visited town without something like that to put it on the map. So I think we see more and more of this. Monster tourism, just like paranormal tourism, is a thing, and it's a growing thing. And I think as long as that story is told as honestly as possible, as respectfully as possible, then it's no bad thing.
Is it the authenticity with which it's told that gets people to come back year after year? Is that what it has to have in order for that festival to keep growing?
I think it reaches a point of critical mass. So, you know, Tobias and I were walking with the Taylors, our fellow investigators, back from the TNT area. I ran into a couple of gentlemen that I recognized their accent being similar to mine. They come from the UK. They'd flown thousands of miles for a weekend festival in another country because they found the whole Mothman gestalt just fascinating to them. And I think the movie plays a huge role in that. And of course, Tobias interviewed screenwriter Richard Haydom for the book. And undeniably, without the movie, I think we would not see this be the phenomenon that it has become. There is no, although there is a festival, there is no Flatwoods Monster Prophecies, right? That is not as recognizable a creature as Mothman is. Mothman has become iconic. The form, the silhouette, the glowing red eyes, you know, the black winged creature. I mean, as I sit in my living room right now, I'm looking at a 7.5 foot tall cardboard Mothman. These things just snowball. They take a life of their own and become integrated so much into our popular culture. And it's here to stay, you know, authenticity or not. The whole thing could be made up. I don't think it is. And I still think you reach this point of awareness in the popular consciousness where the story has taken on a life of its own.
You know, there's, and I'll throw this to you, Tobias. You interviewed... You interviewed Mr. Haydom, the maker of the movie, The Mothman Prophecies. Forgive me, I don't remember if he's the producer, director, or screenwriter.
Writer. He was the screenwriter.
Screenwriter, that's right. And I think even he points out in the interview at the almost, I don't want to say, it's not, the extremes he went to stretch the story, right? Because he had to piece some things together from John Keel's writings. You know, I mean, there's even a, you know, he points out, but look at the extremes that are out there. And he points to the statue, you know, the sexualization of the statue by certain groups. He points out different things and says, well, look at how kind of blown out the phenomenon has become. And it really has become blown out. I mean, when you can walk into a store and you can get comic books and posters and it, like Richard pointed out, he's got a cutout in his house, and there's this pedestal that Mothman's been put on. But at the same and you know, at the same time, we've made him a cute, cuddly, well, look at this mug, cute, cuddly little, you know, little character. But at the same time, if you ran into him in a dark alley, there's an idea of fear, right? There it is. It's Richard's got it. Just say something real quick so you're on camera there, Richard.
Yeah, this is Mothman, 7.5 feet tall in my living room, being guarded by my sleeping dog.
Oh, look at that. but you know, there's, you know, the idea that we've blown it up to such an iconic status that we can look at it any way we want to look at it. Yet, if you actually have the experience, Tobias, it's a whole different thing you know, to me, it seems confusing. Is it to you? Is that a confusing thing, or is it right? Is it do you expect this out of something like Mothman?
I expect this out of something like human beings, honestly. I think that's where I land with it. You know, when I was talking to Richard Hayden about this, and first of all, when he wrote that screenplay, he wasn't trying to make a faithful, like, shot for shot adaptation of the Mothman Prophecies book, because you can't. Like, nobody's going to watch that movie. It wouldn't make any sense. And so what he tried to do was adapt the sort of tone and the themes and the feeling, you know, like try to express the feeling of having a paranormal experience through cinema, you know. And I think he largely succeeded in that. And it also, though, had the effect of people whose only source of information regarding Mothman was that movie didn't actually know anything about Mothman. And so there have been a lot of things that have spread as a result of that. Like, you may have heard of, like, the Blackbird of Chernobyl or something. Well, Richard Hayden just made that up for the movie. He needed other examples of places for Mothman to have been seen. And so he has this professor character who mentions Galveston, Texas. Remember that famous hurricane, you know, like 100 years ago, and Chernobyl as being places where this thing had been seen. And the internet got a hold of that and just ran with it. And now you got people talking about this Mothman sighting in Chernobyl as though it's a thing. But I'm here to tell you, as your local neighborhood fun ruiner, it is not a thing. It was made up for that movie. So that's the kind of thing you see, though, time and time again. And it's not just Mothman. It's every aspect of the paranormal, because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, and there's nothing wrong with this. So, you know, you can direct all of your hate mail to Richard S. Stepp, you know, courtesy of wherever he lives in Colorado. But the reality is there are a good amount of people who just want to be entertained, and they don't care if it's real or not, because that's not why they're here. And so they don't have a problem building on to something, like, to they don't have a problem adding to a story that they don't care if it's real in the first place or not. And so you get all kinds of sort of creative contributions, especially now through, like, internet culture. I mean, Mothman is just a meme, right? Mm-hmm. And people add on to that, and it grows and spreads. And finally, you're left with this, like, highly marketed product that bears very little resemblance to the actual experiences that originally spawned it. And that has nothing to do with Mothman. Mothman didn't do that. That's just human nature. That's just what we do. That's what we do with things. We take them and we stretch them out and we play with them until they're broken. So, you know,
but see, Tobias, for something like Mothman, which we may or may not know if it exists, it doesn't hurt anybody, right? But Richard, I want to give you an example of how it hurts somebody. And we just talked about this on Supernatural News. Mm-hmm. The latest Conjuring movie comes out, Last Rites, and you've got the families that are involved in that movie, and they're not portrayed accurately. And you just throw something on a screen, and although it's just a movie and it's good entertainment, it doesn't portray the families accurately.
Yes. I'll tread carefully here, because I have feelings about the whole Conjuring situation. And I don't want to steal Tobias's thunder.
Yep.
But I think there is always a danger in interpreting Hollywood as history, you know. I think Braveheart's an entertaining movie if you don't, you know, mistake it for fact. I think that of 1001 different movies. I love the Conjuring movies as massively fictionalized versions of accounts, which I also found to have been rather questionable. Let's leave it at that. But I will say that, you know, when money becomes involved, especially large amounts of money, the truth falls by the wayside. And wasn't it a quote from, I think, the man who shot Liberty Valance, you know, the whole thing about between truth and legend, print the legend.
Yeah.
I'm not sure on my source, but the quote has always stayed with me. You know, we print the legend now more often than not. There's a reason that books of a relatively skeptical bent sell by the hundreds and sensationalist material sells by the millions. You know, that's just the fact of the world we live in. People want to believe. And in the world of paranormal tourism, we see this all the time. You know, a house with 1,000 demons in it and no evidence to back it up is extremely marketable. People want to believe it. And I think that there are a few things more powerful than belief to the human mind.
See, my fear, and I'll leave it alone after this. My fear is that whatever you put on the screen, people take as fact. They just do.
Yeah.
Because the screen's a powerful swayer of people's minds. It just is. It takes people's minds.
Yeah, we're all guilty of this. I mean, there is this part of all of us, I think certainly being part of Generation X, that grew up thinking, okay, so if this person is on television or is on the screen, they're an authority figure because otherwise they wouldn't be on TV.
Yeah.
And we've seen some exceptionally shady people on TV and on the big screen. We've seen some exceptionally problematic viewpoints pushed. So the fact that you have a platform does not mean you have A, done the actual work or the research. And I know we all loathe the term do the research, right? It's become akin to having watched some YouTube videos. But I think there is a very real danger to treating what we see on the screen as fact. More often than not, it isn't, or it's a distorted carnival kind of mirror version of reality. When it's done for entertainment, as in the Mothman prophecies, that's great until you stop and you accept that version of reality without questioning it.
Absolutely. Okay, so a few years back, I had my own experience, which when I look back at it now, I know it's not Mothman, but I can explain it away by saying, you know, we have these huge owls out here in where I live. Mm-hmm. And the wingspans on them are about, you know, maybe 12 feet across. I mean, they're huge, but it was a nocturnal experience that scared the hell out of me. And I was driving my van down a rural road, no lights. And this thing came over the top of my van this way. And it was at least twice the width of my van, the wingspan. But again, mm-hmm. one of those things, I can't get my camera out because I'm driving, right? I don't see the whatever is, if it had feet, I didn't see them, but it, you know, it flies this way, but then it comes back this way just as quickly. So it zooms over the top of me and comes back this way quickly. I did see red eyes, but again, you can see red eyes on anything. You can get eye shine off of. But I don't claim to have seen Mothman. I know there's plenty of things out in a rural area that exist in a rural area that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw this to Tobias first. Of these different experiences, I know there's a thin line between cryptid and natural phenomena. When you sit down with these experiencers, And keep in mind, I know in the book you point out, rural people tend to know what it is they're talking about because they live there. City folk, maybe not so much. But mm-hmm. when you, in your day, you've talked to plenty of people. How many do you think are having a genuine experience with something they can't explain? And how many people do you think are confusing what it is they're seeing?
Probably about half. So one of the things that confused me when I first started following the more Midwest winged humanoid sightings was there seemed to be two profiles of sightings, right? Where you'd have, on the one hand, you'd have these daytime sightings of something seen flying relatively far away. The witness might describe it as like a giant bat or like a person in a wingsuit, like that's what they would compare it to. But there wasn't any of the more paranormal qualities that you've come to associate with a Mothman sighting. So none of the extreme terror, no glowing red eyes, like really none of that. And then on the other hand, you would have these more often nighttime sightings where people would see this thing from a relatively close distance, right? And it would often start off on the ground, and then maybe it would take off into the air. They would describe a lot of the more seemingly paranormal qualities. Could be glowing red eyes, extreme terror, maybe feeling like the eyes were hypnotizing them or staring into their soul. Maybe they would later have a UFO sighting in the same area, or maybe that area just outside of this person's experience would have other weird phenomena reported in it. Maybe they would go home and like their house would seemingly be haunted for a while afterwards. Just some real weird stuff. And I couldn't figure out how to reconcile those experiences until I spoke to a man from the Pilsen neighborhood of Chicago who was bicycling to work one day. He saw this thing up in the sky, and because he was bicycling, he had a GoPro camera on his bicycle helmet, and very helpfully decided he was going to follow this thing around and film it until he had to cut off and go to work. He was very forthcoming in terms of like sharing his data, sent me the original SD card. With his help, I was able to locate the creature on the video, blow it up. And guess what? It was a bird. It 100% was a bird. It was difficult to tell precisely what kind of bird. I would guess something like a great blue heron based on its profile and his description of it. They are indigenous to this area, like they're migratory birds, but they pass through here all the time. Now with like climate change and things, it's not even that unusual to see birds like that overwintering up here. So, who knows? But yeah, it was a bird. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, now this makes sense.
Yeah.
All of these sightings that fit that first profile are probably just misidentified birds. And I don't think that the second profile necessarily is, especially because the additional qualities and tests, like the additional qualities noted and the testimony of those witnesses would seem to preclude something like a misidentified bird. Doesn't make it impossible as an explanation, but it can't be my go-to explanation for those sightings. Like those remain mysteries. It's a known phenomenon. Obviously, eyeshine is one of the first things that I look for in terms of like witness testimony, because there are various species of bird that will have red eyeshine. Like there's species of owls. There is the black-crowned night heron, which is indigenous to this area. There's a ton of them in Chicago, actually, and they have red eyeshine. When you look at the whole picture, that becomes less likely as an explanation, unless that person is wrong about every single aspect of their sighting, other than just the things that you would point out that would make it a misidentified bird or something.
Is it one of those things, Tobias, where when someone has a sighting such as that they need to take a breath for a moment and say, you know what? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I, did I have a real cryptid sighting, or could this have been something completely in nature? Maybe I need to cross-reference what it was I saw. Maybe I need to talk to someone like an ornithologist or someone of a scientific nature and talk to them about what's natural around my area that I might have seen.
Yeah, I mean that couldn't hurt. I think we could all be a little less sure of ourselves when we don't have the complete picture. I think that would make sense, and I encourage people to do that. Plenty of times I have provided photographs of various bird species and things, and been like, okay, well, of these, which one is the closest to what you've seen? Sometimes it is a bird, and especially if you're talking about people living in urban areas, a lot of people may not be familiar with this, but Chicago has seen an influx of these large migratory birds, like these various species of herons, because of the destruction of their normal wetland habitat combined with climate change. You've got them roosting in Lincoln Park. Like people who aren't used to seeing big birds are seeing big birds down there. So it has led to some confusion. And like I said, I think it explains about half of the cases, but definitely not all.
I'm laughing because I'm picturing a police lineup of a sandhill crane, a heron, an owl, and Tobias just leading the witness to Mr. Smith, was this the winged avian that you know? But it's a very valid technique, right? Having the ability to say, is one of these close to what you saw, is a great screening tool for that 50% that Tobias is referring to.
Yeah, absolutely. The reason I asked the question, and Tobias, I think it's valid, is I think if you look at the number, especially in the Chicago area, if you look at the number of Mothman sightings supposedly in the last 5 to 10 years, is it safe to say they've gone up exponentially?
There were a lot, especially if you look at 2017 and 2018, there were a lot. And I would say that those periods probably represent the highest percentage of misidentifications, because I think it really sort of took off culturally. And so you had people who had seen something maybe that they couldn't explain, you know, like that Pilsen witness. He was authentically relating his experience to me. He had no idea what he had seen. He thought he had seen something very, very strange. And to him, it was strange, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that that people were seeing something that they couldn't explain, that they weren't used to. And if they went to try to explain it, like if they went online and were like, weird flying creature Chicago or whatever, they found some Mothman reports and were like, oh, I wonder if it was Mothman. Mm. And so that I think certainly contributed, you know?
Yeah. Well, folks, the book is right here. And again, we have a link in the description of our program. It's called Mothman: Sightings and Investigations of the Iconic Flying Cryptid. Tobias Wayland, Richard Estep, guys, I want to thank you both for being on the program today. And before we go, quick plugs for where you're going to be in the next month or so. Richard?
Yeah, I'm going to be at Sage Paracon Belgrove in Virginia in 2 weeks, and then ComCon in Virginia City, Nevada, investigating the Washoe Club with Shane Pittman and MJ Dixon, Aaron Sagers, and folks of that nature. So come join me in the wild, wild west, or in the wilds of Virginia over the next couple of weeks.
All right. Tobias, where are you going to be?
Yeah, I will be in Van Meter, Iowa for the Van Meter Visitor Festival on the 27th of September. And then you can catch me down in Louisville in October. That's Louisville, Kentucky, October 11th for their Goatman Festival. So nice. You gotta love some Goatman.
Yeah, Goatman. Greatest of all time, right? I'm kidding.
I see what you did there.
See what I did there? Thank you for not ruining my fun. see what I did there. Again, folks, here it is. Mothman Sightings and Investigations of the Iconic Flying Cryptid. Both the links to both gentlemen's websites are available, so you can see where they're going to be. And the link to this book is in the description of this program. Thanks, guys, both for being on the program today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that'll do it for today's program and do it for the week. I want to remind you, guys, we can't do this without you. And the ratings are in the charts are in. FeedSpot has ranked us number 3 in paranormal podcasts for 2025. So I want to thank you for that. Also, Million Podcast has ranked us in the top 10 as far as paranormal podcasts for this year. Again, can't do it without you guys. So I want to thank you guys, the watchers and listeners of Darkness Radio. If you love this program, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a phone. I think it's a joke. I'm not sure. But tell whoever and let them know that you love Darkness Radio, and tell them you can find us at darknessradioshow.com, both audio and video in one spot, darknessradioshow.com. If you're listening to this program, not watching it, you can either watch it at YouTube, which is the original Darkness Radio, or you can watch it at darknessradioshow.com. Now, with the new iPhone coming out and iOS 26, there may be a little bump in the road with our app at Apple, which is Darkness Radio. But stay in there, folks. It'll be updated here relatively soon. But again, you can download the Darkness Radio Apple app and you can get your updates in the Apple Store. Otherwise, again, we're at the weekend. I want to remind you that if you're going out this weekend, there's lots of Renaissance festivals, there's lots of events, as Richard and Tobias pointed out. If you're going to go out this weekend and have a good time, take somebody who is disabled or elderly with you. They want to go out and have some fun as well. Do a good deed this weekend. It's a reminder from your friends here at Darkness Radio to be a light in someone's darkness. Please take someone who's disabled or elderly with you. A message from your buddies here at Darkness Radio. For Jessica Freeberg, for Mally Fox, for Travis Thorpe, for Beer City Brewers, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for being with us here on the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit Lowe's.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now
and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday.
How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.